within this chapter for several weeks. We want to speak again this morning on John 6 and verse 31. We've read the chapter two or three times, but I want to select three or four important verses. John 6 and 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then said Jesus, then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth his light unto the world. Verse 48. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Last week we were noticing a number of things about the manna in the Old Testament, and if you want the background for our message this morning, read the 16th chapter of Exodus. For what Christ is saying in these verses is an exposition of the 16th chapter of Exodus. We noticed nine things, if I recall rightly, last week, relative to the manna being a type of Christ. It was from heaven. It was small. It was round. It was white. It was sweet. It was like hoarfrost. And it came with the dew, and the glory of God was associated with it. And it was associated with the Sabbath, meaning it was also identified with rest for God's people. Nine remarkable things about the manna. But now we have several more remarkable things about this manna which fell in the wilderness. The first is, it fell in the wilderness of sin. Now if you want truth for that, you'll find it in the first verse of Exodus 16. This manna fell in the wilderness of sin. Why God called it that, I do not know. Why it was named the wilderness of sin, I do not know. God never records anything without significance. What a type it is of the world in which we live. What a wilderness of sin this world is. No matter where you go, sin is predominant. A wilderness speaks of a place that is barren, destitute of true life. That's true of this world. It's a wilderness of sin. And here is where this manna fell. And it fell to a people who were a murmuring people. The children of Israel were murmuring against God. After all that the Lord had done for them, they murmured against him. And what did God do in response to their murmuring? He rained down manna from heaven, angels do. One wonders why he didn't rain down fire from heaven, for that's what they deserve. As he did in the 19th chapter of Genesis, he rained down fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And here we find this murmuring, complaining people after God had blessed them so much. And they murmured, and God responded with blessing them with manna. He rained down manna upon them when they needed judgment. One wonders how much longer God is going to tolerate this wicked, ungodly world, trying to push God out of his own universe. And yet God in sovereign grace is pouring out his blessing on all hearts who want to be blessed. When this world is inviting the judgment of God, God is still blessing it with the gospel. And here are these people. All that God had done for them, they murmured. They murmured. They did not have to build bridges across the Red Sea or the Jordan. God rolled back the waters to let them through. They did not have to fight the Egyptians. God drowned the Egyptian army. They did not have to till the ground. God rained bread from heaven down upon this nation. They did not have to dig wells. God sent them water out of the flinty rock. They did not have to mend their shoes or their clothes. For the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 39:29, their shoes did not wear out, nor did their clothes. For 40 long years. How wonderful. They did not need any doctors or nurses, for the Bible tells us there wasn't one feeble person among them. They did not have to wonder whether they were to stay or to move. God says, I'll send you a cloud. And when I want you to travel, that cloud will begin to travel in the direction I want you to go. When I want you to stop and encamp, that cloud will stop. God was doing everything he could for this people. They didn't have to worry about the temperature like we do today. For in the daytime, God sent a cloud to shade them from the scorching sun in the desert. At night, that cloud turned into a pillar of fire to keep them warm. They didn't have to worry about the temperature. These hot days, we worry a lot about the temperature. And when it gets up around 105, I'm thinking of a cooler temperature up north. But here are these people going through the wilderness. And God even took care of the atmosphere, the temperature in which they lived. What could God do more than he did for these people? Yet they murmured against the Lord. It makes you wonder, are we as God's people murmuring with all the blessings we have? Satan didn't remind Eve of all the good things they had. He reminded her of one thing that God withheld from them, and she wanted that. The devil never tells us or reminds us of all the good things God's given us, gives us. He generally selects something that we think he's withholding from us. Thus you have this murmuring people. This manna was needed. Needed because there was no life without this manna. How were they going to be sustained? Where were they going to get the energy from to travel throughout that wilderness? And so this manna not only fell in the wilderness of sin, it was needed. Without it, there would be no life, no sustenance. Sin is active in our world today, along with Satan. What's sin doing? Sin is devastating the life of men, ruining lives, blasting hopes, wrecking characters, leaving sorrow, sadness, and death in their train, both sin and Satan. What this world needs is Christ. Only Christ. He's the only answer to man's plight in this poor world. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Yet men seem blind as to this that they need, yet don't seem to want. Also, when you think of this manna, it couldn't be bought. No, it couldn't be earned. It was simply received. God rained it down from heaven. That shows us what God's gift for us is today, for God so loved the world, and what a sinful world, a wicked world, an ungodly world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loved his people, and he sent them, he gave them the manna. That's what your Bible says. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Salvation has to be free. God is too rich to sell it. Man is too poor to buy. How could you buy salvation? Where would you begin? A Rockefeller, poor, with huge bank accounts, couldn't write out a check that would impress the Almighty. Salvation's free. God owns the world. And he's giving man salvation free. Money can buy a bed, but not sleep. Money may buy books, but not brains. Money may buy food, but not appetite. Plenty of wealthy people would pay almost their last dime for a good appetite because they're sick. Money may buy finery, but not beauty. Money may buy a house, but not a home. A lot of homes are not heavens, they're a veritable hell. One thing different between a house, bricks and mortar, and a home. A home is created by men and women with proper attitudes toward each other. That's home. Far better live in a cottage where there's love. Better a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith is gone. You may buy a house, but another thing, you can't buy a home. You've got to make it. You may buy medicine, but you can't buy health. You may buy luxuries, but you can't purchase culture. You may buy amusement, but no happiness. You may buy a crucifix, but you can't buy a savior. You may buy a church pew, but you can't buy heaven. Salvation is free. In these days, our economy's in a mess, inflation. Things are going up all the time, becoming more costly. Back in Bible days, a day's wage was a penny. And when you can think back over your own life, think how cheap things used to be. Where are they today? Constantly going up and going up and going up. Material things are getting more costly, more expensive. There's only one thing that's the same price today as it was 1900 years ago. That's the gospel is free. God has not gone up. His salvation's free. It may cost you your pride, but it well worth the price. Salvation. How wonderful is God's salvation. Material things are costly and temporal. Spiritual things are free and eternal. That's what God wants you to have this morning. His gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. This manner was satisfying. It says he satisfied them with the bread from heaven. Yes, Christ satisfied. Christ is the life, he's love, he's peace, he's joy, he's rest, he's riches, he's food, he's drink. All that man longs for naturally is found in Christ spiritually. The natural heart of man wants life. They want love. They want peace. They want joy. They want rest. They want riches. They want food. They want things. These things are the natural desire of the human heart. But you attain them. But remember, God is offering you all these things spiritually, in Christ, free. And yet you want it. They don't want to see. Another thing about this manna, it was within the reach of all. It fell on the face of the wilderness. How wonderful. A child could pick it up. It was just outside the door. It fell on the face of the wilderness. Those days they lived in tents. All they had to do was open the tent door, and it was right there. Right at the door. God's salvation is right at your door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. A child can pick up the manna. A child can receive Christ. It's just that simple. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I wonder if you're willing this morning to just simply, as a child, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. No room for excuse. There's the manna on the face of the wilderness. God had it there fresh every morning. All they had to do was pick it up. No need to be educated, rich, or be a prince. No, the same food for all. No matter the nature of the man or woman who lived in that tent, they could have been poor, uneducated, almost unrecognized, but there was the manna, the same place, the same quality, outside that prince's tent. And then remember, Christ is for all. The ground around Calvary is level ground. One standing before God. All on the same place. Christ. For whosoever is. There is equality here. On the same ground. It tells you in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here is equality. God is no respecter of persons. There is one Christ only, one door, one way, one salvation. Christ is within the reach of all, but all don't reach for it. That's the sad thing. He's within your reach this morning. And all he wants you to do is grasp him, receive him. And this manna was abundant. Wherever you looked, you saw the manna. And there's an abundance in Jesus Christ. The one thing they had to do, and that was stoop, because it was on the ground. They had to bend the knee. And this is what man doesn't like to do. He doesn't like to bend his knee. You're going to have to bend it. You'll bend it voluntarily in this day of grace. Though you'll be forced to bend it in the future. For God says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. They had to bend the knee. Man will not come down before God and take his true place. Man, because of the pride of his heart, will not beg his God, and yet he's a beggar. Yet because of the pride of his heart, he will not beg. Pride goeth before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. You know, one could not gather this manna for another. Every man according to his eating, said God. Every man. The woman had to get their portion. The boy, the girl, the mother, the father. Each one, it was an individual matter. Let me tell you, friend, this morning, it's something you've got to do. No one else can do it for you. You've got to do it. There are certain things you may do for another. Parents can do things for their children. Children can do things for their parents. Husbands can do things for their wives. Wives can do things for their husbands. Friends can do things for friends. Neighbors for neighbors. But there's one thing no one else can do for you, and that is to receive Christ. No man can by any means redeem his brother or to give to God a ransom for. This is something you've got to do yourself. It's got to be personally done. You know, some people have been willing to give organs of their body to someone else. We had two brothers at this chapel one time. One had bad kidneys, and his brother had two good ones. And he gave the good one. The one had the two good ones, gave one of his kidneys for his brother, and his brother's alive today. I've known people to give organs of their body. I remember reading about a man who had two good eyes, and he gave one of his eyes to somebody who is blind, that two might see. Men can do these things. Do something wonderful for another. A friend, here's something no one can do for you. And that is receive Jesus Christ. This is your responsibility. You have got to accept the Savior or perish. David said concerning Absalom, "O Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee." No, David, you can't die for Absalom. And friend, no one can die for you. Only one did. And good. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you. 1,000 other humans could have died for you, and that wouldn't have put your sins away. Only one could have died for you, and did die for you, that you might be saved. This was the only means of saving their lives. This manner, how important it was. This food could not be made nor manufactured in the wilderness. Friend, this food we're speaking of this morning, the manna which came down from heaven, man can't make it. Not in the bakeries of men. You can't manufacture it. And you can't mix it. And yet the children of Israel did. They sought to mix it and make cakes of it. God says you've got to take it as it is. Don't add anything to it. It's pure manna, dangerous food. Don't try to add to it or extract from it. It's got to be as it is. Don't try and make cakes of it. As they did, and they got punished for it. We're living in a day when men are trying to mix their thoughts with the thoughts of God about the plan of salvation. The Mormons have the Mormon Bible and the Bible that God endorses. They try to mix it. Mary Baker Eddy had her Bible and this Bible. You can't mix the thoughts of men with the thoughts of God. God won't tolerate it. The Jehovah's Witness, modernists, law and grace. No need trying to mix law with grace. It's got to be pure grace. Or no grace at all. And when they made those cakes, the manna lost its taste, its sweet taste. It tasted like oil. And not like the honey it tasted before they tried to mix it. And friend, if you try and mix anything with God's sovereign grace, the old story of Jesus and his love, the sweet story of the love of God for sinners. You try to add anything to that, so mix it with the mind and the thoughts and the works of men that's lost its taste. Nothing like the old gospel, pure, sweet, and capable to meet man's need. How many are trying to mix the gospel with other things? I'm going to read you some verses out of the Bible to show you what they did with this manna in Numbers 11. "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the garlic and the onions." Yeah, they remember those smelly things. "But now our soul is dried away, There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed and the color of as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of ore. See what they did with that pure manna. Think of associating something else with Jesus Christ. The holy, sinless, spotless Son of the living God. Yet man will try to act or add something to him. Mix him with religion or various kinds. And you also read over in Numbers 21, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither any water. What a lie. They had bread every morning and water out of the rock. No bread, no water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. We're fed up on this manna. Our soul loatheth it. And I'll tell you what happened. And this is what happened. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people and bit the people and much people died. That's what happened to them when they rejected the manna or tried to mix it or despise it. And if that happened in the Old Testament, their attitude toward the manna, God judged and punished. What God's going to do to those who despise the person of Christ and reject him or try to add something to him? Their own works, their own life, their own merit. That's a dishonor to God and a disgrace to Jesus Christ. And God says, I'll punish that. How so? They said they loathe this light bread. There's nothing beside it. They wanted something new. Isn't that true today? You're living in a strange age. People are turning from the old-fashioned gospel. They want something new. Some of these Asiatic religions. Weird doctrines. Cults. And what have you. Turning away from the pure gospel of the sovereign grace of God. They had to get it in God's time. And that was early in the morning. For God says when the sun comes up, it's going to melt. You'll have to get up in the morning early to get this manna. Yes, some would sleep. They'd hear the others getting up and getting their manna. Oh, well, I'm going back to sleep. There'll be some when I get up. When they got up, the sun was up and the manna was gone. They slept too long. Others are receiving Christ, and you better receive him too. And not go to sleep. You'll get this manna in God's time, or you'll never get it, and God's time is now. You know, God told them they were to get on the sixth day the amount of manna. He said, I'm going to give you a double supply on the sixth day, and it'll see you over the Sabbath day. I'll not send you any man on sun on the Sabbath day. That's the day of rest. So you'll get twice the amount on the sixth day. That'll see you over to the first day of the other week. You know what they did? They went out on the Sabbath day and there was none. That's just downright unbelief. God told them there'd be none. God is telling men and women today there's a time coming when there'll be no Savior available. The time to be saved is right now. The way this world's going, the day's not far off when there'll be no Savior available. The Wednesday night meeting, Brother Carl's been taken up, mentioned last Wednesday night about the Son of Righteousness, righteousness appearing with healing in his wings. That's the beginning of the millennium. And before the millennium, there's going to be 7 years tribulation. The gospel you're hearing today and have the chance to accept, there'll be none during the tribulation for you. And there'll be none in the millennium. This is your day. And God is telling you when you can be saved. And it's in this day of grace. Because there'll be none after Christ comes. None for you. Unbelief. How sad those words. Too late. Jesus has come. Forever. Farewell. Goodbye. Nevermore. Never again. Are solemn words but true. For some of you who've been so near to picking up that manna, yet you haven't. And God is constantly reminding you of the time when there'll be none. There'll be no gospel preached like you hear it now. No Savior at hand. You know, God says you pick up that manna this morning, and don't you keep it over till the next morning, for if you do, it'll breed worms and stink. And it did. Some of them did that very thing. They kept it over till the next day, and it spread worms and stank, the smell of death. The gospel of God's grace is a favor of life unto life, and death unto death. You can be saved today in this day of grace. Put it off! And it'll be the savor of death. The smell of death. Yours is the choice. How wonderful. God is offering you His salvation now. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day is in for. Christ alone is the bread of life. Some have tried to stay their hunger for Christ by the narcotics of skepticism. Others try to stave off their hunger for Christ by the drugs of fatalism. Others have tried to stave their hunger for Christ by indifference, like the bears in winter. They're not hungry because they're asleep. Hibernating. The reason you have no hunger for Jesus Christ is you're asleep. The devil's got you asleep. If you ever got woke up, you'd have a hunger for Christ. And don't forget, friend, everything depends upon you receiving Christ. And Christ only. He alone will meet the hunger of your soul and the one else. And He is the one in whom there is bread enough and to spare. All that you need is in Jesus. Are you going to receive Him? Are you going to receive Him this morning? You know, this manna, it contained all the ingredients of true bread for the body. Yet it wasn't grown in this world. It didn't come out of plants, out of the earth. Yet it had all the ingredients of bread for the body because it sustained them for 40 years. It didn't come out of the earth. Man didn't grow it or reap it. God sent it down. Send all the ingredients to meet the hunger of your heart are found in the bread which came down from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has all those wonderful ingredients that'll save those elements that'll save your soul and satisfy the hunger of your heart. In the Civil War, a soldier boy was seriously wounded. News reached his family. The father found out where he was and hurried to him. When he got there, his son was semi-conscious. The attendants nor the father could reach him. And as they sat there, the father said, "Son, here is a loaf of bread from your mother. I just brought it to you. The son said, bread from home? Give me some. His mind went back to those freshly baked loaves of bread from mother's home. He says, give me some. The father was able to break that loaf and give that boy some of that bread from home. And this is a true story. From that moment on, that boy rallied and lived. Whether it had a psychological effect, no one knows. But friend, I want to say this. Here is bread from home. It's fresh. It's warm. Not from the heart of a mother, but from the heart of God. God looks. He showed in giving his son bread from heaven that he wants you to take. It's right out of heaven's bakery. And many have partaken of this bread down 1900 years and been saved and satisfied. Oh, bread from home. Dying sinner, bread from heaven. Jesus Christ. And you can have your portion this morning by simple faith. And as God rained down that manna from heaven and those children of Israel, those who wanted it, they got it. Free, without money, without price, without work, without merit. It was a gift from God. God has brought his son right to your door. No, says the apostle, if this word is in your mouth, the word of faith which we preach, the Spirit of God has touched the gospel right in your mouth. All you got to do is swallow it. Believe it. God loved me. He gave his son to die for me. He shed his blood to put away my sin. And as a poor, lost, dying sinner, I'm going to accept Christ this morning. It's my opportunity. It could be my last. For not only is the Lord coming, but those days are ticking away when you'll be a corpse. You've breathed your last without Christ. What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus this morning? What is your answer? Yes or no? I will or I won't. And this is now Lester Wilson begging you, the Holy Spirit of God is begging you, to receive Jesus Christ. Receive him now. You'll never regret. Bread from heaven. Bread from home. Jesus Christ. Will you take him? Will you take him now? Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come into thy presence. We ask thy blessing on thy word. We thank thee for the Savior thou hast provided, the poor sinner. We trust that some this morning will open their hearts and receive us. There's not one of us here who accepted Christ who regretted it. We only wish we'd have done it sooner. He is not a disappointment. He's been all that he promised to be. Love, joy, peace, happiness, contentment, and life forevermore. So we thank thee for the message of Christ in the gospel. May someone this morning receive him. And receive him now. We ask it in his worthy and precious name. Amen. Shall we sing 300?